This is Jason Meister with artofclients.com, and today I'm fortunate to have from Oregon email copywriting extraordinaire Ben Settle. Welcome, Ben. How's it going?
It's going good, Jason. How are you doing?
Cool. Very well. It's a little chilly here in the desert, but I'm good. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this. I know the people on the other end. I know they so much need what you do.
So okay.
I'm excited to get it in front of them. So why don't there are a lot of people listening to this that will have heard of you and plenty who have not. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you're about and kind of what your focus and expertise is?
Okay. I'm a trained copywriter. For anyone who doesn't understand what that is, it's just writing advertisements, basically. That's what I originated doing. And then I have since specialized, as of about 4 years ago, in email marketing and email copywriting, which when I started doing that, I saw all my sales just increase overnight. And I mean that literally. They started increasing exponentially overnight. Huh. And since this is talking to people who are wanting to get clients, I also found that getting clients in my profession, which was copywriting, it became practically automatic. I mean, people started seeking me out. There was no competition almost because I was in front of people every day with emails and I was letting them get to know, like, and trust me on a daily basis or a regular basis. And when it came time to hire someone, there just was no choice for them. So it's something that will give anybody a huge advantage.
It's interesting because you say 4 years ago, even now, I can't think of anybody who's even riding your coattails or trying for whatever reason. Like, you are the only logical choice out there, really, which is a huge position to be in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. And it's all about that positioning. I mean, that's 80% of the battle and just being there. And I like to do it this way. I mean, everybody wants to be an expert, right? They want to position themselves as the expert. So they'll write a book or do whatever they have to do, and that's fine. But there's a difference between an expert and a leader. A leader is somebody that people follow. An expert is just somebody people listen to. Yeah. And when you're there every day or regularly, it doesn't have to be every day, but regularly, and you have something interesting to say and something that's helpful and useful, when they're ready to hire someone, there just is no choice. They're going to go with you.
Well, and it really does feel, you can tell me if you feel this or not, that online, especially if you depend on that to generate business for you, it does feel like we're shifting out of the age of the expert and into the age of the leader.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good way of putting it. And I mean, people are starving for leadership. I mean, I don't know if everyone listening to this is familiar with who Dan Kennedy is, but he put it like this. He was like, everybody's got their umbilical cord out looking to plug in somewhere.
Yeah.
We all do. I do. You do. Everybody does, right? Yeah. We're all looking for a leader to help us with whatever problem we have.
Exactly. So something I want to focus on in the next few minutes is, pretend you're a professional service provider. Now, for everybody listening, Ben no longer takes clients, but he has worked with clients, and we're focusing on how to apply the skills that he's developed two people in the client business, because it's basically like carrying around like a secret weapon. But so right now, the general feeling, especially if you're marketing yourself online, is a very soft, like, social, get to know people. You don't want to be like in their face about what you've got, and you don't want to be too bold about making it clear that you're actually trying to sell something. And Ben, for those of you who do not know, is like the anti that, and for good reason. So why don't you tell us, everybody, a little bit about your philosophy behind selling? And even though you don't take clients, I mean, you are just like all of us selling you in one way or another, right? So talk about how you made that decision to be so focused in terms of your philosophy about selling.
Okay. I think that's a great question. I think this can change the game for anybody, quite frankly, when they understand this. I used to be the same way. I would refuse to sell anything unless, you know, I, quote, had something to sell once in a while, or, you know, I thought I was imposing on people if I tried to sell them something. And if all you're doing is lobbing blatant sales pitches at people, then you're right. You know, that's not good. I mean, I wouldn't recommend doing that. But when it's done the right way, you're not imposing on anybody. you're exactly what they want to hear. They want to buy from you. They're looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah.
And my philosophy came about this because the way I look at it, if somebody has a problem that needs solving, and whatever you sell, you're helping somebody solve a problem, a painful problem, and you have a service that's going to help that person solve that problem, and the more dire the problem, the more this applies, you have a moral and ethical duty to get your service in front of them. And not only that, but you have an ethical and moral duty to make sure that your service, which I'm going to assume is the best service out there, or should be, or certainly one of them, if you're really good at what you do, you want to make sure they hire you and not somebody inferior. So you have, I know it sounds self-serving, but really you're going at it looking at the customer and what's best for them. Well, if you know you're the best option for them, that's a mission for you to get in front of them on a regular basis and sell them what you have. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about like your transition. Like, no, and you didn't wake up one day and have 50 emails in your box saying, you know, Ben, you're an awesome email copywriter. You're like the king of this, right? So if what you just said in that last answer, if received by the average service provider, they're going to say, well, I mean, I'm pretty good at like what I do. I mean, I haven't won any awards or anything. I mean, basically what you're discussing requires a very confident self-appointment. Can you explain what you think about that? Is that something that's necessary? Is that something that people should do? Or how does that come about?
Well, that comes about, I mean, when it comes to services, and I know this isn't for every service, what I'm about to say, I know that this is kind of a blanket statement, but a lot of services in the mind of customers, okay, not necessarily in the mind of the service providers, is there's an assumption of competence there.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is you look at, for example, a painter, a group of painters, you don't really know who the best one is, except by who's doing the best advertising, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of have to be the best marketer too. Even if you're not the best at what you do, if you're the better marketer, then you're going to win that game.
Yeah.
And as long as you're good at what you're doing and you can solve the problem, I mean, I don't think somebody would be in business if they weren't. So I'm just assuming that they are. And even if you're just starting out, you still have an ability to solve someone's problem. You should be confident about that. And you should go out there regularly. I recommend daily. And I know you email daily.
Yeah.
And you just want to get in front of them every day and just be that person that inspires them to want to solve that problem as fast as possible so they can move on with their lives.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say the service provider, you know, is in line with that. They're going to go out there and market themselves because they totally believe in themselves. One of the things in the service business that I found is it's all about attraction, right? I mean, if you can get them to call you, it's 90% over. So how does somebody go out there, and this is what I think you excel at so well, how do you go out there and sell yourself hard without actually being needy?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because I know exactly what you're saying. When you come off as needy, it almost repulses people. I mean, it does repulse people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just wrote about this recently, actually.
I've done it so many times, it seems like second nature.
Yeah. Well, the way to do it is, depending on what you're selling, of course, but you want to put on a little show for people. You want to do it like talk radio. I mean, the way I look at it, and I didn't make this analogy up, a guy named Matt Fury did. He's kind of like the email king that I learned from his products and services. He talks about email being nothing really but talk radio. You're going to be in there for 200-300 words, however long it is. You're going to put a little show on. You're going to have fun. You're going to tell them an interesting story or make an analogy or just inspire them to want to solve their problem. You might give some information away, and that's fine. When you're selling services, I'm a lot less salesy and more informational when it comes to selling services, because it's not like they can do the service themselves, like,
yeah,
you know, depending on what someone's doing. So you don't want to bog people down with too much information, but you want to have fun. You want to keep it loose. I like to use what's called infotainment, and that's kind of a cross between information and entertainment. And you'll notice a lot of popular shows on TV are like that. I mean, the news has basically become infotainment these days.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're coming out there and you're someone that they look forward to hearing from first and foremost. Like, what is this crazy Jason guy up to today? What's he up to now?
Yeah.
You know, you may sell them something, but they don't care.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're being needy, because you're not sitting there coming right out the gate saying, you must buy from me or anything. Instead, you kind of hit it a little more subtly than that. You come in and you just talk to them about the problem. You talk to them about their lives. You get into their head a little bit first before you give them a link or a call to action. And probably the best way I can explain this is there's this guy named Jim Camp who's like the negotiation king. I mean, he's like the best in the world at negotiation.
Okay.
He's like the most feared negotiator among Fortune 500 companies and that sort of thing. And he said this, and I've never forgotten this. You're always safe when you're in the other person's world. So as long as you're talking about them, their problems, their fears, their desires, what's keeping them up at night, what the nagging problem is, whatever it is, as long as you are in their world, you will never bore them. You're never going to come off as needy or anything. In fact, what you're going to do is you're going to be the person who understands their problem. By the time you're done talking to them, they're looking for a solution, and then that's when you present it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say just help me like build this out for somebody that hasn't seen this demonstrated. Let's say you're like a financial planner, and you hear Ben Settle say, I email my people every single day, and my first thought would be, my people don't even want to hear about financial planning every day. What in the world? How am I supposed to structure this to generate the relationship like you do? How do I apply that to my world? What kind of tips might you give somebody that asks you that?
Well, with financial planning, I think it'd be even easier because everybody's scared of money problems. Everybody's scared that their money is going to go down a black hole and they're never going to see it again. Everybody's been taken to the cleaners in the last 4 or 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these scandals out there. There's all these scams out there. There's stories about the IRS that, you know, every all the time. There's stories about fees. There's stories about how people have done good things with their money and grown it. You know, and you can talk about all that stuff. I mean, everything's a story. Everything is an email. Yeah. Anything bad that happens to anyone else, anything bad that happens to you is a story, is an email you can talk about.
Yeah.
And it can just be warnings. You can be warning people. You can be telling them how to avoid certain scams. You can be telling them about how other clients you have, how you've helped them. You know, go from struggling in this and that and the other to now all of a sudden they've got a nice nest egg or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about them. You just talk about it. I mean, this is the kind of stuff they want to hear that they're not hearing from the other financial planners.
Mostly because most people just don't have what it takes to like do something like this on a consistent basis. Yes?
Yeah. I think they do. I think people don't believe they do. I mean, you know, it is a commitment, but I'm sure that you've found this to be the case. The more you do it, the easier it gets and it gets fun. I mean,
yeah.
I have to do it now. It's like, it's therapeutic for me. I have to write my email every day.
Yeah. I always joke that it is the best form of self-therapy I've ever seen.
It is, isn't it?
It totally is. Okay, so let's we'll come back to the present in a minute, but let's flash back to when you were working with clients. Knowing what you know now, if you could go back there and look at yourself doing what you used to do, what would you say were like two of the biggest mistakes you made back then, and what would you do differently now?
Okay, well, for one thing, I never sold. I mean, I bought into this mindset, which hurts a lot of people right now, that you just want to give away all this information. You never really want to sell. People will just come to you. Like they think that you are magically going to get people just wanting to hire you because you're out there talking.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask for the sale, if you don't ask them to take an action of some kind, they're probably not going to.
Right.
In fact, what you might have done is inspire them to go hire someone who is there for the sale.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a big one. And another one was, at least for getting clients and for services, and this isn't necessarily the same for what I do now, but I would probably be a lot more I'd be a lot more upfront about like fees and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
I know that not everyone agrees with this, but I would have positioned myself as the most expensive, or I would have, you know, one of the most expensive. I would not have hid that fact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have come out and said it. In fact, I only want to attract the high quality clients. I don't want the bottom feeders. So I would have been more polarizing in that sense.
Got it. Yeah. It is weird how we almost treat the whole money thing as though it's a big secret that's actually like why we're here in our business.
Yeah.
But I've done it. Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's go back to our financial planner. they get it. They want to start doing this. Do they just start writing, or like talk about how you might take an expert like a financial planner and wrap him or her up in a package or with an angle or deliver to them a hook, which is, you know, some way that they're going to be unique and different? How do they do that so that when they start communicating with people on their list on a regular basis, it's something different? Where do they draw that from?
Well, I would say for the financial planner, at least, that the news. I mean, you will never run out of stuff to talk. You could do a whole email, you know, daily email for probably weeks and months just by opening up USA Today, looking at a story and then commenting on it, a financial story, and then just giving your take on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great idea. And it's certainly like a never-ending supply of ideas that someone else thought up for you.
Yeah, and look, we have now, we have an election coming up. I mean, how's that going to affect people's money? I mean, it's crazy, right? And there's opportunities everywhere for that.
Perfect. I just read not too long ago, I don't know if you've read it, Dan Kennedy's new book about trust-based marketing. It's really good. And I want you to comment on how you feel these daily emails, what does that do to trust over a long-term period with your readers?
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, and this is the way you have to look at it long term. I don't look at, in fact, I don't even want anybody buying from me the first day they see my website, or I want them to be on my list for a good week or two and get to know, like, and trust me first. And this is how you do it. You don't have a lot of time to do that in most advertising. I mean, it's usually in and out, right? You make your pitch or you make your offer and that's it. Email gives you day after day, week after week, you're just building on it. They may have made the decision to hire you a week or two ago, but they're just pulling the trigger today. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
But they are looking for someone that they can trust and someone who's competent. And I'll give you a real life example of this. This was back in like 2005. I was writing a lot, and there was this guy named Ken McCarthy who, you know, he's pretty big in the internet marketing world. I mean, he's kind of the reason, one of the reasons we're even on the internet marketing today. He was one of the few people out there trying to like promote the whole idea of selling online.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know him from Adam, and he contacted me out of the blue. And he was like, you know, I've been reading your site and, wow, you know, you're a copywriter who obviously writes. You know, he was surprised we don't write, right? So whatever your profession is, if you're out there talking about it day after day after day, there's just no question that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if I look back over my years of experience, I really underestimated how much or how many touches it takes to actually not even just connect with somebody, like even to know that they're alive, that you're alive.
Yeah.
Because most of the world doesn't and never will. And unless you have some other cool plan for how to ensure that people are going to know you have a heartbeat, this is really one of the best ways I can think of to do it, and for practically free. So let's say you're getting started. You have nothing, right? I mean, you have an expert skill that you can deliver and you want to get clients. Talk to me about some ideas for how somebody builds a list the smart way and what their priorities. I mean, you hear a lot of BS around here. Like, my list is 50,000, 80,000, 4 million. Like, size doesn't matter, right? Talk about what does matter.
Well, you're right. Size has nothing. I mean, I have a relatively small list, and I do pretty well, yeah, you know, by most people's standards. And my list is not that big, and it's taken me a long time to build it because I was only doing it the slow way for the longest time. If I was just starting out new, and this is interesting you asked this because somebody just asked me this today. He was like, well, how do you get started on that? How do you get the list going and all that? Well, first of all, you want to make it really simple. Now, I'm not saying you cannot use blogs. I'm not saying not to use all these other things, social media and all that. That's fine. But to get started, I mentioned Ken McCarthy just a few minutes ago. Uh-huh. He was doing a seminar a few years back with this guy named Lloyd Irvin, who's like a multi-million dollar earning, like $10 million a year guy in the martial arts niche, you know, teaching martial arts. So yeah. He was a service provider. And he sells products too. But I mean, these guys are not lightweight. And they were being asked this question in the seminar. It was a part of a seminar that was talking to the newer people who wanted to know how to get started. And they were asking him, so, you know, do I have to get on YouTube? Do I have to get on Facebook? Do I have to do all this stuff? And they're like, look, you can do all that if you want. But essentially, since the founding of internet marketing, whenever that was in the early 90s, whenever, it's still, for the guys making the big money, it's still essentially, you know, squeeze page, i.e. capture page. That's where you capture their email address, yeah. Sales letter, and then relentless follow-up. I mean, that really is all it comes down to. So if you just keep it simple, you want to put up a capture page, which is just a form that you put on there to capture their email. And then you want to start emailing them every day, in my opinion, or at least 5 days a week, or however often you can, but try to make it consistent. And then you want to have like a sales page that explains what you're selling. And that's where you send them every day. And if you just do that, if you just did that one thing, I mean, you're going to do pretty well over time. You're going to be the one that people want to hire. As far as getting people to your site, I mean, that's sort of a traffic question. But even then, it's not as hard as people make it sound. You don't have to screw around with Google and all this. Just hire a service that does traffic, like pay-per-click or something.
Yeah.
And there you go. You'll start having good quality leads coming to you.
Yeah, and I think for professional service providers, the daily thing is even more important, because if you don't want to be perceived as a salesman, right, which most people that are emailing out there are perceived that way, an email shows up in your box when they have something to sell you, right? That's kind of a deal killer when you're selling services.
Yeah.
It really messes with your positioning. But to start off the relationship knowing that you have built in and they expect 5 sales opportunities a week from you is pretty powerful, because when you show up, they know it. It's not a surprise, and their mind doesn't go immediately to what is he selling today. Would you agree with that thought? That
line? Oh, absolutely. And it just comes down to, as long as you're doing it right, and you're, you know, again, we go back to talk radio, right?
Yeah.
Most talk radio is not sales pitch. Most of it's just talking about the emotions of the market.
Right.
And then there's a minute, 2 minute commercial break.
And they pitch hard during that minute or two.
They do. And is that not the most direct response friendly medium there is yeah. talk radio? Yeah. So it works. That format works. And just apply it to email.
So you transitioned out of clients, was it about 4 years ago or a couple years ago?
I actually got out of clients summer of 2011 is when I stopped finally doing client work.
Okay. So something that I often recommend is a way to, for service providers to figure out how to productize their service, which is basically what you've done. So can you talk a little bit about that transition and why any service provider should consider doing something like this to either replace client work or to go alongside it?
Yeah, and in fact, not only should they do that, and I know exactly what you're saying, like productizing it. You know, I used to do some ads in the MLM niche industry, and they do what's called a funded proposal. And that is, they would write or sell a informational product, a book or whatever. It could be a CD. It could be whatever. That shows people how to do what they do, so that it kind of they focus on selling that first and not trying to recruit people. So all they end up with contacting them are people who already know what they're selling. They already know they want to buy it. They've already paid this person money, so they obviously trust them that much. So they're kind of getting their customers to pay them to hear their sales pitch, so to speak.
Yeah.
And if you go in doing that, it's very easy to kind of branch out of the whole client thing altogether, because you've already got that base to work of products to work upon.
Yeah. And then how would that flow? I mean, you're talking to somebody on the other end of the line that is not a marketer or a copywriter. So can you talk about how you might think about packaging up what you do into a box kind of thing?
Yeah. The easiest way to do it is to start writing emails every day, like we were talking about, and then just take like 5, 10, however many you did that are really good, that you got a lot of good feedback on, or that just give good information. Maybe add a little bit more meat to each one and just compile those into a book and either sell it. I mean, you can sell it on Kindle, or you can just give it away on your site. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, but if we're talking about productizing here, you might want to sell it. And there you go. That is the fastest way I can think of. Or even better than that is have somebody interview you about whatever it is you do, and there's a product. Mm-hmm. I mean, right there, just record it, and there's a product.
Yeah, I think oftentimes when you look out at what's going on online, you really get the feeling that like your plans have to be extremely grandiose and like huge and 14-step launch. Like, it just gets too complicated, and really it isn't that. It's just more simple than that.
I agree. I mean, I think that's my whole life is about taking complicated things and simplifying them, because I don't like complicated either. And the more simple I've made things, the easier things have gotten and the more successful I've gotten. So yeah. I'm all for simple.
Yeah. And I think, you know, don't overlook the little, like squeeze page. You say that to a marketer and they're like, man, that's come and gone. Like as of 1990, you know, except that it still works.
Yeah, that, you know, I wrote a blog email about this very topic, and the title was Market Like It's 1999, because essentially nothing has changed, right? I mean, except people have tried to make it more complicated.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, with your current emailing every day, I mean, are there challenges with that? No path is perfect. So what are some things that people might want to watch out for if they go that route?
Okay, well, the first thing that this is the big one that throws everyone off. When you start mailing regularly, and as long as you're doing it even halfway right, your sales are going to go up. I mean, I can almost guarantee it. I mean, as long as you have something people want, and you're solving a problem they have, and everything, the price is right and all that, your sales are going to go up.
Yeah.
And they're going to go up probably pretty rapidly for a while. And then all of a sudden, they're going to start tapering off, and you're like, whoa, what happened? This doesn't work anymore. No, it's not that it doesn't work anymore. It's just that you're not building your list still. You have to keep building that list, because essentially it works down like this. And this isn't exact. These numbers I'm giving you are not exact. It's just an idea. But the way it was explained to me a long time ago was 50% of any market is never going to buy from direct response. No matter what you do, I mean, you could be giving away gold bricks as a bonus for buying. They're not going to do it.
Right.
And then you have like 5% who will buy everything. They're the rabid buyers. These are the people who have a hot problem. They need it solved yesterday. And they're, as long as you're competent, they're going to buy from you. And then you have like 10 or 15% that, you know, beyond that, that are kind of higher up in the tree, and you have to work on them longer. But my point is you're going to burn through that 5% in your list pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And your sales are going to go up, and you're going to feel like a rock star. And then you're going to be like, wait a minute, what happened? But the reason why is because people stop building their list. So you constantly have to keep building your list. That's like the big one.
Which is something that people don't focus on in their service business either. And then you're left with like the one prospect that, you know, comes through your world every month, and you have to sell them.
Yeah.
So it really kills more than, you know, one bird with the same stone. If you can get this right, then you've got leverage for the client stuff. So it kind of all works together, which is, I always ask myself why I didn't do this like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't have a good reason. Okay, so they're listening to Ben Settle, the email copywriter extraordinaire. What if they're not a good writer?
Well, you don't have to be a good writer to do email. This is the beauty of it. There's a lot of people I know who do pretty well, and they suck at writing. You know, and they're getting better with every email. I mean, you're going to get better as you do it, but let's say you do really suck really bad. It doesn't matter, because nobody's judging your emails like this. I mean, in fact, the more informal you make it, almost the better it's probably going to do. I mean, okay, I want to put it this way, and I recently wrote about this because I've been kind of wrapping my mind around it, why certain things work and certain things don't with email, even though they shouldn't work if you ask the average person.
Yeah.
And I have this theory that I call the professional versus the unprofessional versus the anti-professional. Now, the professional is going to have all of his I's dotted and all of his T's crossed, and everything's going to probably be perfect, and it's probably going to be boring, you know, and I don't think that's good. The unprofessional is sloppy, and they're swearing, and they're cussing, and, you know, they honestly don't give a rats about anybody, and they're just, you know, they're just out there to make money off their people. You know, get their wallet as fast as they can. And obviously you don't want that.
Yeah.
I believe everybody should be striving to be the anti-professional. Now, this isn't unprofessional. It's unpolished, but it's not sloppy. And by that I mean you can make, you know, you're writing like you talk, basically.
Yeah.
If you would say it in a real conversation, you should say it in an email. So if the worst case scenario is just talk into a recorder and then transcribe it. And that is going to be – that's a good email right there. That you're using colloquialisms and slang and all this stuff that people love to read and that make you unique and that make your personality stick out from all the other people out there who are perfectly polished or are completely unprofessional.
Yeah.
You should strive to be the anti-professional. Just like in literature, the anti-heroes are always the fan favorites in movies and stuff, right? I mean, they're almost always the fan favorites. And there's a reason for that, because they're not perfect. And they're still good people, but they have flaws. And it's just like that with email. It's okay if you're not a perfect writer. It doesn't matter.
And even better, probably, because like I said before about us coming out of the age of the expert, it's almost like we're coming out of the age of being impressed with polish. And now we're going back to looking for something that's real.
Absolutely. Even if you were to look in the so-called professional, like let's think media, right? Like on the TV and stuff.
Yeah.
20 years ago, you had to wear a suit and a tie and all this. Nowadays, people go on there in leather coats. You know, I mean, if they're being interviewed on TV, they're way more loosely relaxed and everything. They're not trying to impress everybody. Again, they're not sloppy, but they maybe are just a little bit unpolished. And I think that's good. It goes into that whole concept of being un-okay, which I think is a very powerful way to sell services or products. And that is where you show people that you're just not perfect in some way. And it's okay, because everybody feels that way. Everybody knows they're not perfect, and it makes them you more human, like you're more relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, polished things just, in my experience, get ignored.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Okay, last question. And this is a big one. We kind of touched on it briefly, but I really want to have you nail it because it's kind of one of your things. Does teaching sell?
Okay, that is a very good question, depending on who you ask. I've had articles that I've written rejected on certain websites because of philosophy. And I understand it. I think you should strive to be more informational than educational when you're in emails. In other words, think of an article in a magazine or something. They're informational, but it doesn't bog you down with all the how-tos of doing something. It gives you just enough to get you excited to want to know more.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it, it's kind of like you could tell people what to do, but not how to do it. I think that's a good way to approach it.
Yeah.
So you are teaching in a way, but you're not hard teaching. You know, and this is a fact. Teachers do not make that much money in our society, and there's a reason for that. But people who entertain, they do. So once again, we go back to infotainment. You want to be kind of entertaining, and that doesn't mean you got to crack jokes and stuff, but just be interesting. Tell stories, you know, give examples, give warnings, and have fun with it. And then, you know, talk about like what people are doing wrong. Talk about the news. Like if you were in a business that is tied to the news somehow, comment on a news story about whatever happened. Just give your own slant on it. That's informational, but it's not really teaching them anything.
Yeah.
You just pitch. You say, look, if you're looking to solve X, Y, Z problem, give me a call or whatever, however people respond to you. And you just keep doing that day after day after day. And people who have the problem, who are looking for a solution, you're going to start getting contacted by them because you're the one that's there every day.
Yeah. And I used to be the world's biggest teacher. And it just, if you really have a service that you know can help somebody, then teaching your heart out about it is the absolute worst way. I mean, you will be in no danger of helping the number of people that you should help if all you do is teach in your marketing.
It's true. I was the same way. I mean, I think a lot of us kind of grew up on the Gary Halbert thing there where you just give everything away. And you know, he was a great marketer. I'm not disparaging him, but I think he was wrong about that, where you just give all your best stuff away on your website and then people will find you. That doesn't really work in the real world unless you already have a rock star positioning.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really customized thing, which makes it hard when you have 4 million voices to listen to. But like you said a few minutes ago, where you said, hey, you built your list up slowly over time. I mean, that's for a reason, because you bump into a wall and you bump into a wall and like you just don't stop, you know, and that's kind of how you make progress, which you don't see many courses saying something like that.
No.
But that's the truth. Well, awesome. I hope everybody was listening and, you know, heck, they could listen to 2 minutes and take something away that would really transform their way of thinking about how to attract clients in a smart way using something that's practically free and building a business probably at the same point if they have products and stuff. So Where can people go to find out more about the world of Ben?
Oh, that's easy. They can just go to www.bensettle.com, and you don't have to opt in. I mean, there's an option where you can just go to my blog where I have like 700 pages of content and like a dozen hours of audio interviews and that sort of thing. Or you can get on my list, which is I recommend, and I will send you via in a PDF format the first issue of my Email Players newsletter, which is a $97 a month newsletter. I give that first issue away free in electronic format. Yeah. The newsletter is actually a print newsletter, but I give a PDF for the first issue if you opt in. If you don't, you can still get a whole bunch of free information on the site without having to opt in. But either way, it's bensettle.com.
And that's SETTLE.com. Bensettle.com. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I'm sure our paths will cross soon.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.